I was enjoying watching all of you tap your feet to that. Some with shoes on, some without. Amen. Welcome to Heritage Baptist Church. Galatians chapter 1. I appreciate Heritage Strings very much. Appreciate that song.
It's a great old hymn. I'm glad this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. It's what the Lord did whenever he was put in that tomb. That wasn't his home. He was just passing through. Used it 3 days and arose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And because of his resurrection, we also too will be resurrected one day. If not resurrected, we might be raptured. I'm getting excited about that one. Because I believe we're waiting on a trumpet sound. I believe that. I believe in this audience, there may not be anybody that will see death. We may just be raptured out of here. And I believe it's going to happen when the gym is done. We're going to have a ribbon cutting and then we're out of here. That may be this month. That may be next year. You never know. It's going to happen. I promise you. I'm looking forward to that. Galatians chapter 1. We'll read the scripture here in a little bit. I want to give you a little background to this. And I love the book of Galatians. The book of Romans and the book of Galatians go hand in hand, really. The book of Galatians is a continued story. It's kind of like when you used to write a letter. Y'all remember that, all of us older people that, you know, now I write letters and I'm waiting for spell correct to recheck it for me, you know, for it to fix it, and it doesn't. And we used to write letters and then we'd write P.S. and always write something, you know, down there if you was writing a letter to your whoever. And kind of to your wife sometimes, and you know, you don't do that after you get married, you do it before you get married. But I was thinking about Galatians is really the P.S. after Romans. And as we read it, we see that Paul is writing to the Galatians and writing to the, really it's kind of the northwest corner of Asia Minor there, is some churches in, on his first missionary journey he started in Galatia and Iconium, Derbe and Lystra are all those churches that he established on his first missionary journey. Now Paul's writing back to them to give them kind of an update of what he's heard about them. And so also he reminds them about that salvation is not by the law, that it is by grace, and that they should keep the gospel pure, and that the gospel message must remain a pure gospel witness. And so as we look at this, Paul's reminding them, by the way, salvation has always been through faith. In the Old Testament, man was saved by his faith. Matter of fact, you read the rest of chapter 1, we're not going to read it, but it talks about Abraham. Abraham was made righteous because of his faith. Read in Hebrews chapter 11 that by their faith they were made righteous because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Now we look back to the cross. They look forward to the cross. We look back. But I want you to look and see what Paul says here in chapter 1. So Paul writing, it says, Paul an apostle, not a man, verse 1, neither by man. He reminds them that he's not an apostle that was called by man, that he was an apostle called by God. By the way, it's very important that we understand that because he's going to later on in verses 10 through verses 12 give us also that because that he was called of God, the message of the gospel was of God. The message of God was not of Paul. Paul didn't make it up, and Paul didn't seek the council in Jerusalem and say, guys, what do you think about what should the gospel be? No, this was a divine revelation given to Paul. And Paul received it, and Paul did what with it? He gave it out to those people. It says, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 said, who gave himself? Who is who? That's Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6 really kind of starts the book of Galatians. All that first stuff was, here's who Jesus is, here's who Paul is, and now here are who the Galatians are. And we're going to see who they were. Can you imagine the anticipation? They're like, he's writing us a letter, finally. Well, here it is. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Matter of fact, that word, if you want to look up the word accursed, it means this, to be destroyed. By the way, be careful what you're preaching. Keep the gospel message pure. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. You preach with your life. You preach a gospel message with your life. And notice what he says here. He says in verse 9, he says, and we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Go back to verse 7. I want to show you where the Lord has led me this week. As I studied, look at verse 7. The Bible says, which is not another gospel, but here it is. But there be some. This morning I'll preach on there be some. As we look at who they were and are they still in our world today? And I believe they are. I believe there's still people in this world today that are out to change the very gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that today after we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And Father, we do ask that you be with Pastor and his family as they're away this week. I pray that you would give them rest and relaxation. And God, as the kids go back to school and college, and Lord, those that have already gone back to school, that you may continue to bless there. And Father, we ask you to meet with us today. We lay all aside, and God, we ask you to be present among us and in us and through us. God, that if you would use me today, I'd be most thankful and most gracious to you. Father, if you would see fit one more time to use this vessel, God. Lord, as this vessel, I know it falters, it fails, and it sins. But God, thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for your power that you can rest upon me. Lord, use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I yield to you. I yield to your word, and I yield to Christ. And as you speak to hearts, God, today, Lord, I pray that they would act upon that which you speak to their heart about. Lord, we pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray for their salvation. I pray that you give them the faith. I pray you give them the courage and the knowledge to know that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. And Father, I pray that you would continue to bless our church, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look, we see that the gospel, by the way, the gospel brings freedom. When you get saved, you're broken away from the bondage of the law. You are broken away from the bondage of sin. Well, here's what was happening. They were called the Judaizers, and basically, they were ones who come into these churches and said, wait a minute, now, you're saying it's by grace, but aren't you, some of you Jews? If some of you are Jews, then you got to keep the law, because if you're a Jew, you have to keep the law. By the way, it still is prevalent in our world today, is that there's still people think they have to keep the law, that they've got to be good enough, that they've got to do enough in order to get to heaven. Amen. Paul says that's not the true gospel. That is a perverted gospel. That is a distorted gospel. And Paul comes about to say this is what the gospel is, and we'll see that here in a moment. But can you imagine the heartbreak of Paul? Paul, on his first missionary journey, and some say maybe the second missionary journey, goes about to establish these churches there in Asia Minor, and he begins to establish these churches built upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Paul takes the time to show that there's no difference now between the Jew nor the Greek. Amen. Hallelujah. That was good news. That should have been good news to them. Amen. By the way, that's good news to you too. Amen. Amen. I'm glad there's no favor with God anymore. If you're bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are His son. It doesn't matter what tribe you come from. I come from the Wiggins tribe. Some people like to go to on that genealogy stuff. I don't want to know what's in my genealogy. Right? I don't want to know what's in my tree. There's a lot of branches and a lot of forks. And a lot of vines that come and wrap around there. Right? I don't want to know. But I do know this, is that I came from Adam. You trace all of our genealogies back, guess what? You're going to get back to Adam. You know what you find when you get back to Adam is that we're all born sinners. Today we're trying to figure out where we're from, who is this, and what race is this, and what culture is this. We all go back to Adam. Amen. We all go back to being sinners. We are all sinners and condemned underneath that sin of Adam. and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, we see that as we're sinners, we need one who will deliver us. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil present world. By the way, not only has he delivered you from the presence of sin, the power of sin, but you know what? God can deliver you from the presence of sin. You don't have to live in the presence of sin. You can deliver. He can deliver you from that. And I know we live amongst the world. I do know that. But can I say we don't have to sin anymore? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to go back. I got sidetracked, as usual. Verse 7 says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. Well, what about these some? These some. By the way, if you want a good study, study the word some through the Bible. God has some and the devil has some. Matter of fact, Paul said in the book of Romans, I believe it was, or maybe it's in the book of Acts, is that there were some that believed and some that didn't. That is the two sums in the Bible. There's some who are lost, there's some who are saved. But also in the Christian realms, the book of Jude tells us some making a difference, having compassion. And so there is a difference between the sum of God and the sum of Satan. Satan has some everywhere we go. And the some are always after the believers. Now listen, when you get saved, you're saved forever. Somebody say amen. You can't lose what God gave you. Now if you gave yourself salvation, you're going to lose it. Because you didn't give it to yourself right anyway. So you make it whatever you want to make it. You can distort it ever how you want to because it wasn't the truth to start with. But when God saves you, He saves you for eternity. And the devil himself knows that you are... By the way, somebody said, well, I don't believe in that. Well, the devil believes that. If the devil didn't believe that, he'd leave us alone. We'd self-destruct. But he knows that he can't take our salvation away, so he knows he can come in and get us. How? He can take away that happiness and that joy. He can take away that which we have during revival. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit also. But I want to give you some things this morning. So the Judaizers come in and they are trying to take the believers and say, well, you said it's by grace, but if you're a Jew, then you got to have the law added to it. You know what happens when you try to add the law and grace together? It's kind of like adding oil and water. You can shake it up, stir it up, blend it up, but it ain't going to stay together. Because they're two separate things. It's just like you can't say, I'm going to have good works and grace of salvation. Right? I'm talking about a way of salvation. I'm not talking about after you're saved. But some people say, well, I'm going to get there by grace and by my works. Ain't wrong. Because you're trying to mix the law and grace together. They don't go together. It's for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't mix those two together. And when you try to do that, you're taking and you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. The cross of Christ is the power of the gospel. By the way, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. By the way, there's not many gospels. There's a lot of people out there say, well, there was a gospel of Abraham. There was a gospel. No. There's one gospel. You know why? Because there's one person wrapped around the gospel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the very essence of the gospel. The Judaizers come in and they are the some here in verse 7. I want to give you a few things this morning very quickly about the some. The some come to do three things this morning. Number one, the some come to deceive. Notice what he says. In verse 6, he says, I marvel. In other words, he's just flabbergasted by what's happened. He says that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace unto another gospel. How in the world does that happen? That we're talking about a church setting here. We're talking about First Baptist Church of Lystra. We're talking about the First Baptist Church of Iconium. We're talking about First Baptist Church of Deborah here. We see these churches established through Paul preaching the gospel. And all of a sudden, we allow... By the way, the Bible always says there's people that have crept in unaware. Every church has some in it that come to deceive. We must know who they are. You say, well, no, we should just... No, the Bible says, mark them which cause division among you. By the way, they ought to be marked. Everybody ought to know who they are. If somebody's trying to preach another gospel, by the way, I've been in some churches before where a Sunday school teacher went off on I don't know what happened to him. Just kind of went out in left field and started preaching something else. Well, as a pastor, you go, what happened here? Well, guess what you had to do? Number one, you need to get rid of him. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. And that's why I love Heritage Baptist Church. We're all on the same page. Sunday school teacher wise, there may be one or two. The guy that teaches the class upstairs, across from the office, I don't know about him sometimes. In case y'all are wondering, that's me. But here's the thing, is that Paul has seen that the Judaizers have come into this church and trying to deceive the people. By the way, we see it all over the world today. Just because somebody has a Bible and wears a suit and is on TV or in a pulpit or in a lecturing room doesn't mean that they're right. Because I'm telling you what, the devil knows how to deceive people. Matter of fact, one of the greatest wiles of the devil or the tools of the devil is to deceive you. He knows he can't take away your salvation, but he can make you miserable. And by the way, if you can be deceived so quickly in today's society. We're deceived by the news media of how our world's going. The news media is not going to report tomorrow how many souls got saved in churches all across America. They're not going to talk about people that have put their families back together through the grace of God. They're not going to talk about those things. They want to deceive our world in thinking everything is doom and gloom. Well, a lot of it is. But by the way, there's a lot of good things that happen in America. Every day. There's people that help other people. You don't hear about that too often, do you? I wouldn't watch that on the news. It's kind of like saying, I want to watch NASCAR with no wrecks. That's like watching rat race, you know? I watch NASCAR because I want to see them wreck. You say you want to see, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, don't get me wrong. But if you're truthful, that's the only reason you watch it. That or to get a good nap. You know? I told my wife the other day, I said they ought to ban everything in the Olympics that is not dangerous. Yeah. Amen. Golf has no place in the Olympics, people. Unless they get alligators all over the course. I told my wife, I said, unless it can be played in under an hour and it's dangerous, it shouldn't be on the Olympics. We don't care. Badminton, are you kidding me? That is a mockery unto the Olympics. We play that as kids. There's no danger there. Amen. That's what we want. We want something. I want to see that gymnast go like this, and I think, is she going to make it? Amen. The guy's on the hot dive. I'm cringing for him. I don't watch it when the women get up there. We turn the channel. Watch them guys come off that hot dive. There's a lot of extremely bad things that could go wrong. Right? Some of y'all are like, that's not why I watch it. Y'all are liars and the truth's not in you. We like that little bit of danger in things. Amen. That's the only reason we love football. That's why it's America's game. There's danger and there's hitting involved. There's manly things going on there. Right? But listen, here's the thing. If the devil can get into a church setting and deceive, then guess what? He begins to win a war. Because if he can deceive in the church and change the gospel. By the way, the gospel has been changed today, which is not another gospel, as Paul says. I listened to other preachers preach, and matter of fact, I was at a place not too long ago, and the guy said, you just have to feel God in your heart. If you feel Him in your heart, you're saved. That's not nowhere in my Bible. My Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. It is faith in Jesus Christ. And then you'll hear another preacher. And that's why our world's so confused. You turn through the channels of TBN, you turn through there, and you'll see this person says this is how you get saved. This person says this is how you get saved. This person says, hey, why don't we just get back to the book? That's what Paul's telling them. Hey, this is the truth. This is the truth. I received it of the Lord Jesus Christ by divine revelation. This is not the gospel of man. This is the gospel of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like man's opinion a lot. Right? I like God's opinion. I don't always agree with it. especially when it deals with me. But he's always right, because he looks upon the heart. And there be some that trouble you. Now look at that next part of verse 7. He said, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That would pervert the gospel of Christ. That means to add a mixture to. That means something that was so pure and so clean is to add mixture into. Yesterday we planted some grass. And by the way, guys, thank you for your help. We was out there planting grass yesterday. And I went to get into... Brother Chad had helped get some water in that ice chest and some ice and waters in there. And I was one of the first one to grab that ice, the water out of there and drink it out of there, because I was the one sweating the most because I'm the fattest. And I was like, man, I mean, you look down in that cooler and I could see those waters just going. It was like glory coming out of there. Well, at the end of the day, I went to get the last one out of there. That water was brown. That water had been perverted and distorted. Trust me. And I was scared to reach in there. I didn't know what was going to grab me. Because we had grass and mud all over us, and people have been reaching in there all day. By the way, you see what happens when too many people reach into the same place? It gets it dirty, doesn't it? See, the problem with the world today is that we've not just kept it pure. The message of the gospel pure. Too many men have said, well, I'm a professor at such and such theological center, and I know better than God does. And really, if you read in the Greek and in the Hebrew and in the Aramaic and in the Chinese and all these other languages, that this is really what... Leave it alone. Well, it's not just by grace. It's by grace plus works. It's by grace plus baptism. It's grace plus church membership. No, my friends, keep your hand out of the gospel. Paul said, let them be accursed. Let them be destroyed. Why? Because they're destroying the very message of God. Of why Christ came. They came to deceive. Turn, if you will, over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to notice the wording of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. The Bible says, O foolish Galatians. In other words, they're not too smart. I figured that out in the Greek. It said, who hath... Some of y'all saw the show many, many years ago. Bewitched you. Some of y'all got that. Kids don't know what in the world we're talking about. That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth, crucified among you. Notice what he says. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath tricked you? Who hath deceived you? Who hath distorted the very truth of God? Who was it? It was the Son. It was the Son. And by the way, the devil is a master of deception. If the devil can't come in and keep you from getting saved, he could come in and distort the gospel so others don't get saved. By the way, he's great at deceiving us, isn't he? I want to show you the second thing this morning. These some come in to disrupt. Notice the wording again back in chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, which is not another gospel, but there be some. Now notice what the next three words say. That trouble you. See, the some came not only to deceive, but the some came to disrupt. By the way, that's what the devil wants to do. By the way, why you have so many visitors at Heritage Baptist Church? It seems that we have more attacks on our church than any other time. Because he wants to disrupt what's happening at Heritage Baptist Church. And he wants to disrupt what's going on. And by the way, it seems like when the invitation comes, that's whenever the phones ring, that's whenever things start getting disrupted. Why has that happened? I preach revivals all over this world, and it seems like at the invitation times, ring, 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 the sound system, you know. I mean, why is that? Because the devil wants to disrupt that time. You say, that never happens. Well, let me put it on personal. You go and you get away. Father, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, wherever your prayer time is.
I pray early in the morning because I want to do it before anybody else gets up. Because you know why? One of my greatest, well, there's two great things that are opposing us when we pray. Number one is us. But number two, there's disruptions. Come on, parents. You know what I'm talking about. Baby's sound asleep. Baby always sleeps to 8 o'clock every day. Except for when you pray. Right? Or the phone never rings before 6 a.m. The electricity never goes out. Because why? There's a disruption. When you read your Bible, listen, you're going to face disruptions. When you try to live right, there's going to be disruptions. The sun are going to come and they're going to try to disrupt your life. Notice what he says, some that trouble you. You know that word trouble? Imagine this. You have a pail of water. Yes, I use the word pail. For northerners, that's bucket. For us true southerners, it's a trough. You fill it up with water, and it's sitting so still. There's no ripples, there's no nothing. Sometimes that's your life, isn't it? But I don't know about you. You take a boat paddle, and you beat the water out of the water. That's what trouble means. See, your life is no longer still. Now it's disturbed. Listen to me. The devil's coming to disturb your life. And he has some that he will send to your life to disrupt what God is trying to do in your life. But I'm reminded, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The devil will send the sum into your life to disrupt it as much as he can. Just when you think that your life is on a great path of peace and tranquility and all the things are going well, you better watch out. Disruption's coming. Listen, your marriage is going well. All right, we have counseling available. I love the elbows. Say amen, honey. It's going well, isn't it? You know, at least lie, you know. But, yes, it's going well, you know. Marriage is going well. Kids are acting well. Woo-woo. Trains are coming. Right? But listen, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is still truth in disruptions. The truth is still truth in deception. The truth remains the same. It never changes. And Paul is trying to encourage the believers here that this was the truth that I delivered unto you because God delivered it unto me and I delivered it unto you and it is still the truth. You don't have to listen to the sum. Let me give you the third thing. You know what's so great about the third thing? It's the last thing. Turn over to chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. The some come to deceive. The some come to really disrupt your life. But I want you to notice in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." In other words, emancipation. We have been emancipated from the law. We have been made free from the law. When you got saved, your emancipation proclamation was signed by Christ. Hallelujah! The chains that held you into sin slavery were broken free by Christ. That's what it says over in chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself till he might deliver. That word deliver means to deliver you from something, right? He's delivering you from sin. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. He said, made us free, now here it is, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. By the way, the yoke of bondage referred to there is the law. Read on down. Amen. The law was a choking yoke. I preached a message not too long ago, don't choke on the yoke. Because that's what a lot of people are doing. Christ said, take my yoke upon you. It's light, it's easy. He said, learn of me. And all these things that Christ was saying is that the yoke of bondage. He said, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, you've been brought out of the law. Don't go back. Amen. The last thing is that the some are not only there to deceive, to disrupt, but they're there to derail. Can I remind you that Satan wants to derail your train? If he can't slow it, he'll try to slow it down. And when he tries to slow it down, he'll try to get it off the tracks. Since I've been here, there's been a derailment a couple times in these tracks back here. Or not right here to the church, but around this area. And you go across the country, and I used to work for the fire department there in Florida. And we had train tracks there, and it seemed like it was every year we'd have a major derailment right there. And I don't know what the cause of it was. But can I remind you that when those trains derailed, it affected those people that live in that area. We'd always have to go and evacuate people. When you derail in your life, you don't just affect you. You affect those around you. And in life, if Satan can... By the way, Satan, he wants to do the most harm. Satan wants to not... By the way, if somebody's not that spiritual, he's not that worried about them. Because if he affects them, the effects around them is not that great. But if Satan can get a hold of our pastor and deceive him and disrupt his life and derail him, look at all the people that are affected. That's why you ought to pray for your pastor. That's why it ought to be a daily thing, praying for Brother Crawford, Miss Tanya, and Joshua, and Caleb, and Micah. And a lot of Micah. Because he's the only one left. He's the Mohican. Some of y'all know movie references that are in the 80s. That's all I got. That's all I got. The last of the Mohicans anyway. Some of y'all look that up later. But you never feel old until you tell something funny like that and the kids go, you know, it's kind of like, what is a typewriter, you know, or what's a cassette player, 8-track player? I can remember 8-track. Some of y'all go further than that. But, you know, some of y'all remember the day, you know, cranking your car like that. So we cranked our car like this, right? Some of y'all remember the time when you cranked your car like this. That's hot wiring it. See there? Yeah. Some of y'all didn't get that at first, but, you know. Anyway, I never did that. My brother did, though. Listen, he wants to derail your life. Christian, listen, all seriously, I know I joke a lot, but I'm telling you, is that this year I've seen Satan derail a lot of lives. You know how he derails lives? You mark it down. First, he deceives. Secondly, he disrupts their life. He gets in there and he stirs it up. Hello. He causes disruption in your life, and then what happens after that is that he derails your life. Matter of fact, let me give you an example of that. Turn over to 1 Timothy, if you will. 1 Timothy, I want you to read this. Keep your place in Galatians. Turn to a lot of scriptures this morning, but I want us to get this picture. In 1 Timothy, it's in the Bible somewhere. It's right before 2 Timothy. I'm a genius. That's why I teach in seminary. 2 Chronicles comes after 1 Chronicles, too. I figured that out the other day in school. But notice, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, start, if you will, in verse 3. By the way, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, they were having problems still with people going back to the law. Let's read it. Notice what he says, verse 3. He says, "And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." Notice what he says, "when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some," though there's some, "that they teach no other doctrine." By the way, told you, there's always some. By the way, another good reading is to read about the children of Israel. In the midst of 40 years of traveling through the wilderness, the Bible says, and there was some that had disbelief. Some that disobeyed. By the way, there's always that some. You know why the some are always out there? Because of us. Satan always has some for us. And I'll give you that in a moment. But notice what he says, that some that teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edificating, which is in faith, so do. Verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unframed. He says, here it is. Verse 6, from which some have swerved. Deer ever jumped out in front of you? Something ever jumped out in front of you driving down the road? You understand what swerve is, right? It means to run off the road. By the way, some people, when they swerve, get back on the road. Some that swerve don't. He says, some swerve, having turned aside to vain jangling. What's the jangling? What's jingle jangling around? Well, verse 7 says, desiring to be teachers of the law. Read on down, says they wanted to go back to the law. That people were listening to the Judaizers still. That's why the book of Jude was written, because they were trying still, right before the revelation, they were still dealing with the Judaizers, trying to say, if you're a Jew, you got to go back to the law. And Paul comes in and says in Romans and Galatians and says, no, that's not true. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile anymore. If you're a child, you cry, Abba, Father, unto him. But there be some that would want to derail your life. Listen to me. We just had revival a couple weeks ago. Great revival. I believe everybody would testify to that. But I don't know about you, but whenever I walked out of here from revival, the old devil had some waiting on me. Right? Because the last thing the devil needs is Heritage Baptist Church to get on fire for the Lord. The devil waits outside with that fire extinguisher to say, come on, bring it on. He waits for you youth to come back from youth camp and he's ready to douse your fire. He's ready to deceive you and disrupt you and get you off course and derail your line. But listen, we can pick on the youth all day long, but it happens to us just as well. By the way, I'll admit, I've been sometimes. We have to be careful that we don't become the sum. But listen, the devil has some waiting on us out there. Here's what's going to happen. I'm a prophet too, by the way, in case you didn't know it. You come down here and you say, Lord, I'm giving your life, giving my life to you. Lord, I'm giving whatever up. Guess what's waiting on you outside of these doors? Some that are going to remind you that maybe you're not fit to be part of this church, or some that will remind you of your sin that you just tried to let go of. Hey, listen, whenever I was in high school, I never saw drugs in high school. The only drugs I ever saw was from my family. Because my uncle grew up behind my grandfather's house. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And that was the only drugs. I thought it was just a real green tree. I didn't really even know what it was. Until somebody finally said, hey, do you know that's marijuana? I'm like, no. Like, what do you do with that? You know? I didn't know. And I'm glad of that. I never saw drugs in our school. I know it was there, but I never saw it. But I'll tell you, alcohol was pretty prevalent in our school too. And I can tell you, I never was a drinker. Thank the Lord for that. Because I saw the effects of that on my own family. But I want to tell you, it wasn't because I wasn't offered it. Because I'll tell you, there's been many times that we say, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to quit this. And some are waiting out there saying, is this what you gave up? Are you sure? And by the way, he'll start to deceive you that it's not that bad. It's just for thy belly's sake. Just for your glaucoma. We put medical in front of it. It means it's all right. We have medical marijuana. We have medical whiskey. We have medical drugs now. As long as it's medical, it's fine. Hello? We have, if we put medical in front of a gun, does that make it right to shoot somebody? No. Listen, here's the thing, is that whatever you want to give up today and whatever you want to try to maybe put your life back together, some are waiting on you out there. You say, well, what do I do with them some? By the way, those some shouldn't be your friends. Hello. We always preach this message over here. Y'all don't ever have ungodly friends. They'll drag you down. Hello, it happens more out here than it does over here. We hang out with people. We say, well, I don't drink, but I hang out with people who do. I don't do drugs, but I hang out. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up just like them. Because they're going to deceive you. They're going to disrupt your life. And guess what? They're going to derail you. I don't know about you, but I want to hang around somebody that makes me look better. I want to hang around the Brothers Zellners of life. I do. I want to hang around. I want to hang around some people that. I want to hang around the Schulers. I want to hang around the Brother Crawfords. I want to hang around Kelly Clarks. I want to hang around somebody that's going to lift me up higher to Christ. And serving Him and encourage me. I don't want to hang out with the sum. Listen, you say, well, the only reason I'm hanging out with them, I'm trying to win them to Christ. Listen, they will drag you down every time. I'm not saying you have to be mean to people and hang up on them and close the door in their face, but I'm saying I'm not going to spend my time, my efforts with them if they're going to bring me down. Teenagers, there's some out there that want to destroy you. There's some. Satan has them waiting out there. He has a boy for some of you girls. He will destroy you through that boy. Girls out there for you boys. Listen. I've seen it time and time again. They come through the youth department. They got good families. And one night ruins their entire life. Hello. Same with you. And the same with me. I hang out with Jesse Latta, Chad Biddle, Tanya Crawford, Donya Wiggins, and Pastor Eric Crawford. Now, I know it's hard. Everybody has a cross to bear. But you know what? I'm privileged that that's the people I get to hang out with every day of my life. Because these guys aren't trying to get me to...
Amen.
I know. For the most part, they don't get me to do bad things. But I do understand that you go to work. I'm reminded I worked in the world for a long time. You guys have a hard job to try to come here Sunday and cast away all the things that's happened, and all the things you've heard, and all the things you've seen during the week. I admire you for coming here every Sunday. I do. I know what you have to deal with out in this world. But I also want to remind you is that there's some out there that want to take your feet out from under you. So you'll lie on your back and be non-effective for the cause of Christ. Let's get rid of the sum. I want to pick up some new sums. That's the sum having compassion and making a difference, as Jude 22 talks about. That's the sum I want to hang out with. I want to hang out with the Randy Cooks of life. I want to hang out with the people that encourage me. I always said I want to be A.B. Henderson. I want to be like A.B. Henderson.
Amen.
That's who I want to be like. I want to be like these guys for the cause of Christ. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Tim, come. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I just want to encourage you that there's some out there. Maybe the joy of revival and the challenge of revival has passed you already by. Why don't you just come and renew yourself this morning? Maybe youth camp. Some's already come and tried to destroy our youth department. Whatever it is, maybe there's a sum in your life. Why don't you come and get it right? But if you're here this morning, listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, don't be the sum that's going to die and go to hell. Be the sum that's going to die and go to heaven. Be that sum. If you're not saved this morning, we have workers down here with Bibles. They'll show you through the Word of God how you can be saved this morning. We pray that you'll do that. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. I ask you to bless this invitation, God. Pray that you use the words that have been spoken, and God, that you'd further the cause of Christ today. I pray for those that are lost. I pray they get saved today. I pray that they come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those that are here today, for the sum that are in their life, Lord, they need to get rid of. Lord, maybe we ourselves are the sum that are discouraging, Lord, and Father, help us not to be that. And I pray that you'd renew our strength and renew our lives today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.